The Lord be with you.
And with
your A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up until the day when Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So it will be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of the night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Good morning. Happy Advent. Happy Advent.
Happy Advent.
That's a lot better. You know, oftentimes throughout human history and throughout our daily lives, we find that when we put things together, they are actually improved. And I'm reminded of the time when I became the director of formation for the permanent diaconate, and we had Mass each Saturday morning. I would hear individual guys sing, and some of the guys' voices when they sang were the type of voices that I wish that they were mute or I was deaf. But what was interesting is when we all came together and we all sang, the sound that was made was beautiful. It was just fantastic, and it enhanced the liturgy. And it just is kind of the miracle, and I've talked with Doc about this, the miracle of bad voices coming together, singing all at once, produces a wondrous sound. And it's almost like a miracle. And so I think that's also why you and I should always sing at Mass. Because as we come together as a people, as we join together in worship and song, it honors God, and it's a beautiful sound. So we should always do that. But not everything should be mashed together as we come together as a choir. A good friend of mine, Deacon Greg Kandra, sent me an article a couple of years ago, and it was about a dessert called a churpumple. Has anybody heard of a churpumple? Well, it was all the rage in New York, and it was actually created in California. And what it is a dessert that's comprised of a cherry pie, and then a pumpkin pie, and then an apple pie, and then it's coated in a cake batter, and then baked. And Greg said it is absolutely disgusting. And I think it proves once again, just because we can do something, it doesn't necessarily mean we should do something. But I think when we contemplate things that get shoved together, we should contemplate that every year it seems that Advent and Christmas get commingled. They get shoved together, and we sort of miss Advent. We've gone from Halloween to Thanksgiving, and most people are launching into their Christmas thoughts and not thinking about Advent at all. And we see that in our secular society. We are pushed toward Christmas immediately after Thanksgiving, and actually we're pushed toward Christmas way before Thanksgiving. The very first secular event in our community that dealt with Christmas was on November 3rd when the Chamber of Commerce held an event for the local businesses to sell Christmas goods. So November 3rd, our secular society began Christmas. In Richmond, Virginia, a radio station began playing Christmas carols on Halloween night. And all of us know, as we drive through our neighborhoods, we have some neighbors who've decorated their house a couple of weeks ago. So there's a rush toward Christmas, and when we do that, we tend to miss this glorious season of Advent. And we need to pay attention to Advent. Advent is about expectation. It's about preparation. It's about waiting. And there should be an excitement to Advent, something that really gears us up and makes us, you know, just long for it. And the way I'd compare it is to compare it to things like waiting for a long and well-deserved vacation that you can't wait to go on, and those last few days, how excited you are about going. Or the excitement that I see in couples preparing for marriage, when they know in just a few weeks they're going to take a step in their lives that will change them forever and ever, and how exciting those last couple of days are, anticipating the glory and the wonder and the positive things that come with marriage. Or for those of us who are parents, that feeling you had before the birth of your first child, where you waited in anticipation for 9 months for that child to come, and the excitement of the last few days as you knew that that child would come into the world and change your life forever. That's the excitement we should feel during Advent, because Advent is all about anticipation and waiting. And the readings today and for the next 3 weeks lead us in that preparation. They help us understand what we're to do. And each week has got a specific theme. And this week, if you missed it, you can go back and do the readings later. But the theme this week is wake up, awaken. And that's what we have to do. We have to awaken our spiritual lives, awaken ourselves to the coming of the Lord. Next week, we're going to hear a theme of repentance. And repentance is all about turning away from evil, turning away from sin, and turning back toward God. The word repent itself means to turn around. So if we're heading the wrong way, turn around and turn back to our Lord. And then the third week of Lent, Advent is all about rejoicing. Rejoicing and being happy that we've turned away from evil. We're turning back toward God, so we should rejoice in that. And the fourth week, we hear the story of the birth of our Lord. So if you put all that together, the theme of Advent is wake up and repent so you can rejoice in the coming of the Lord. And that's what we're called to do. It's work that we have to do during this season. St. Paul tells us in the second reading today, it is the hour now for you to awaken from your sleep. And so what we're to do during this Advent period is to awaken to the purpose of our lives. And the purpose of our lives is simply this. It's communion with God. Because God is the only place we can find true happiness, true joy, true peace. It doesn't show up anywhere else. It's truly not in our families, and it's not in our friends, and it's not in our politics, and it's not in our nation. And it's nowhere else in this world. The happiness and peace that you and I desire and the love we desire in our lives can only be found in God Himself. And so we see during Advent, God is coming toward us. We have this message of Advent, God coming toward us, God coming to us. But we're also to go out toward our God. We're to go out and meet our God. The Catechism says the search for God demands of each person every effort of intellect, sound will, and an upright heart, as well as the witness of others who teach him to seek God. So we're to seek God with all of our intellect and with all of our heart, as much as we can. So Advent helps us awaken to God in two ways. First of all, to prepare for the celebration of the anniversary of the birth of our Lord, the incarnation of our God on this earth. We're going to celebrate. And we've been doing that for over 2,000 years. And so we have to prepare ourselves for that celebration so when it arrives, we feel ready for it. But in a more meaningful way, we have to prepare for the coming of our God again in judgment. Because we know that there is a second coming. We know that Jesus Christ is coming. And the purpose of Advent is to help us prepare for that second coming, that coming of our Lord who will come to us on the final day of judgment. And if we don't prepare, there are dire consequences. In the gospel today, in the gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells us that during the flood of Noah, people were carrying on with their lives. They were eating and they were drinking and they were marrying and giving in marriage. They were just living an everyday normal life with no expectation that something dramatic was going to happen. We can't allow that to happen to ourselves, where we're going on with our normal lives with no expectation that Jesus Christ will come again. So during this Advent season, we do have work to do. It's not just shopping for presents and going to parties and enjoying ourselves with family and friends. And that's all good, and we should do those things. But we also have to prepare ourselves spiritually. St. Paul tells us the night is ending. Dawn is here. Throw off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Conduct yourselves properly. Put on Jesus Christ. That's the instruction St. Paul gives us. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, we can sharpen our spiritual lives through prayer and devotion. At the end of this Mass, you're going to be invited to pick up a devotional book that Father Henry has arranged for every parishioner to receive. I'd encourage you to pick it up and use it every day. Spend a few days in quiet contemplation, connecting and reconnecting with your God every single day. Because our God wants that, not for himself, but for us, that we strengthen our relationship with him each and every day. We should also do what we heard in the first reading in Isaiah, to work toward peace and justice throughout the world. That's our obligation. We should be the image of beating swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks to strive for peace throughout our world. We should also accept God's grace in the sacrament of reconciliation, repenting of all the things we've done wrong and turning back toward our God. We should always contemplate the joy of God's wondrous mercy, that 2,000 years ago, he lowered himself to become one of us, to walk on this earth, to be a human being. What a marvelous thing our God has done for us. So Advent should create in each one of us a sense of anticipation and excitement, but also a sense of urgency that we need to get this done. It's an urgency to awaken, repent, rejoice, and look forward to the coming of our Lord. Jesus tells us that he will come at an hour we don't expect. How many people believe that Jesus will come back this afternoon at 3:00? Anybody? You see, that's the problem. We don't expect him to come back at a given hour. We don't expect him today. We don't expect him this afternoon. We don't expect him next week or next month or next year. We have no expectation of when he's going to come. And he tells us when we do not expect him to come, that's when he will. We don't expect him to come, but he tells us in an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. When he does, let him find us awake, repenting, rejoicing, and ready.